All right, so we are on the air. All right, so a few shots were sent in from last week. One of them was when you make your bracha on your tefillin shel rosh. So I believe Ashkenazim don't do that, but Ashkenazim do. And if you make your bracha on tefillin shel rosh, should you make it loud or should you keep it quiet? So the first bracha on shel yad you can make loud, and then we'll answer me. But the bracha on tefillin shel rosh should be done quietly. Because it's a machlokes if you make it. When we make it, we say Baruch Shem Kibbutz Machzor Leolam Ve'ed, because it may not be the right bracha to make. So definitely when you make it quietly. Okay, that is on Tefillin Shel Rosh. Second halacha, second shayla was, I'm not going to give away identity of anyone, but plastic surgery, is that mutter, is that aser? Let's say you have an overly large nose, or you have certain growth of skin in certain places that you don't want. Now, medicinally, there's no need for it. Every doctor says there's no need, there's no problem, you don't have to do the surgery. But for external, for appearances, you want to do the surgery. So Ramesha has a tshuva about it. It discusses, the idea is you're inflicting pain or injury to yourself or to a child, and he cannot be meichel you because he's a child. Are you allowed to do these elective, we call elective surgeries, when there's no medicinal need? So Ramesh goes back and forth about it, and you are allowed to do it, but it should only be done if it's like a normal, common, practical surgery. But if it's a weird, abnormal surgery, so then it should not be done if it is elective. Okay? Another shayla was, oh yeah, when are you makabel Shabbos? Men, women, husband, wife, when does Shabbos come in? For example, here's the way it goes. When it's sunset, Shkia, it's Shabbos for everyone, no matter what you've done or haven't done. It's Shabbos. Ladies are makabel Shabbos when they make the bracha on candles. So they light the candles, and they are not makabel Shabbos with the lighting. When they make the bracha, Haloyoni, when they make the bracha, women are makabel Shabbos with the bracha on the candles. Men, however, even if they light candles, or even if the women lit the candles, they're not makabel Shabbos with that. Men are makabel Shabbos when either they say it, or when they daven. Davening means Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos, Baruch Hu, or Shmoneh Esrei, whichever comes first. Whenever the Shmoneh Esrei Maariv, whichever comes first, that's when they're makabel Shabbos. And just because the men were makabel Shabbos doesn't mean the women were. Meaning, so the men made early Shabbos, it doesn't have to drag along the women. And when the women light the candles, it doesn't necessarily drag along the men. And one last shayla that was sent in was based on the Kibbutz of Ein Sugya. On the Shir, we discussed that you can live in a different city from your parents if you're doing it because it's better for your learning. So, question, what about if it's better for your business? So, that there's no heter. The parents need you and they want you in their city. So, just for parnasa reasons, you would have to live in the city with your parents. However, if it is for ruchnias, other things like it's a better environment for the kids, it's a better environment for you, so then there's no obligation to move into the city that your parents live in. So not just for learning would you be allowed to live in a different city, but also for other holy spiritual ideals, you can live in a different city. All right, that is a wrap on the random shaylas. Here we go. Hilchos Yichud, part two. So last week we discussed the underpinnings and the reasons behind the Issur of Yichud, why it's so important. And we discussed that there are some ladies that you are and some men that you're allowed to be with. For example, your father, mother, grandmother, grandfather, son, daughter, sister, brother, those immediate close relationships were not nervous, anything bad happened. So therefore you're allowed to be with them, you're allowed to have Yichud with them. However, other ladies, or even aunts, sisters, aunts, cousins, you're not allowed to have yichud with. Okay, that was a recap of last week. Now, what I want to discuss this week, a few different parts. Part one is, how many women and men together in a room would be considered yichud? For example, if you have 20 men and 20 women in a closed, locked room, is that yichud? Definitely not. If it's one and one, definitely yes. The question is, how many men, how many women will take it out of the Yichud issue. And here we have a major fight, Ashkenazi Svardim. Svardim, in this case, are very more machmir than Ashkenazim. So I'll break it down like this. If you are an Ashkenaz, man or woman, so you are allowed to be one man, three women. One man, three women is not considered Yichud. And that's mutter. Or one woman and two kosher men is not considered Yichud. What's considered kosher is a very big shaila. Definitely someone who keeps the Torah and mitzvahs. Also someone who is not known for doing averas when it comes to arayas. When it comes to boy, girl, averas, he's not known for doing such averas. That's when you're considered kosher. Okay, so one woman can be alone with two kosher men. That's during the daytime. But if it's nighttime, it has to be one woman with three kosher men. Okay, so if you're Ashkenaz, you can be one woman, three men by night, one woman, two kosher men by day. If you are Ashkenaz, you can be one man with three women, day or night. Okay, that is, that is, hello, Abba Florence. Okay, so we're just recapping now. Kosher, one man with three kosher women, or one woman with three kosher men, that's not considered Yichud. If you are Svardi, you do not have those heterim. The only heter by Svardim is three women and two men, right? Remember, a full house, three and two. Three women, two men, that is the only heter for Svardim, that's not considered Yichud. Now we're going to get to who's a shomer. There are certain people you can be with. That's fine. But we're talking, let's just say, random men, random women. If you are three women, two men, that's not Yichud. That's fine for Svardim. But for Ashkenazim, it's going to be key. We're going to come back this week. For Ashkenazim, it's one man, three women, or one woman, two kosher men. Now, I was called last week, right after the Yichud Shir in Israel, I was called last week by a lady who was on a bus, and it was dark. It was on a highway. No one was getting on or off. And all there was one Arab driver, one Haredi from kosher man, and her. So we have one woman, two men. Problem is, the one of the men was not kosher. It was an Arab guy. So I told her she had to jump out the window while the bus is moving, that it would be a problem because that would theoretically be Yichud. But there are two heterim in such a case. Heter number one is that some are mekel as long as one of the two men are kosher. So we said one woman with two men are okay, but it has to be two kosher. That's for sure ideal. But if one of the two are kosher, then it's also okay. So in this case, one girl with Arab driver and one kosher man would be okay b'di'evid. What we did in this case was we just kept her on the phone. Now, it's a big shaila. If you talk to the lady or the man in such a case, does that prevent issur yichud? Definitely better than nothing, because there'll be fear of doing anything because you know someone's on the phone. Someone hears everything. So in scenarios where you're stuck, you could rely and at least keep the person or one of the people on the phone. Okay, fine. So that's a setup of multiple people that's not considered yichud. Now we get to, in a situation where it is yichud, who can save the day? Who can be what's called a shomer and prevent the issur yichud? So here we go. We're going to have four categories of different types of people that would prevent the issur yichud. Category number one is a child. And this is very tricky. Last week we learned, and it's true, even this week, a man cannot have yichud with a girl who's over 3 years old. And a girl cannot have yichud with a boy who's over 9 years old. However, let's pick our names. We have Rachel and Yaakov. Okay, Rachel and Yaakov are not married. They are dating. They're a boyfriend, girlfriend, or there's some other relationship, but they're not close relationships. They're not allowed to have yichud together. Okay, so that's Yaakov and Rachel for the rest of the night. Yaakov and Rachel are not allowed to be together. However, if you pull in a kid to that room, then it's okay. So if you have Yaakov and Rachel and a child Male child, 5 to 12. Female child, 5 to 9. Then it's okay. Okay, so this is a major heter, which is Yud-Hel or J. Here we have the heter. When there is an Isser Yichud, man, woman, Yaakov, Rachel, cannot be together. If you bring in one child, 5 to 12 boy or 5 to 9 girl, that will allow the Yichud. Because in that case, the girl, the child, if she sees anything, will say something. She's old enough to know what's right and what's wrong. And she will probably not be seduced in front of the other ones. And therefore, here in this case, no one will act inappropriately. When you have a threesome, three is a crowd, it's referring to this. So that is fine, mutter in that case. Okay, that's one type of shomer. It's called the child, a child. Doesn't have to be related. Any child, 5 to 12, boy, 5 to 9 girl. That's heter one. Heter two is a mutter relationship that you're allowed to have yichud with. That person also will allow yichud. For example, Yaakov and Rachel are together. Yaakov's mother, sister, daughter, grandmother will be a shomer in such a case, and that will be fine. And therefore, if Yaakov and Rachel are together, and it's a yichud, you need to have one of Yaakov's close relatives around. That will allow it. Okay, that's heter number two. Heter number three, what about Rachel's relatives? And this is very tricky. Okay, guys, you have Yaakov and Rachel together. Do Yaakov's close relatives allow it? What about Rachel's close relatives? So if you are Ashkenazi, it's not relevant. Because if you're Ashkenazi and you have Yaakov and Rachel, any other male relative will be fine because you have two men. So that's fine. But what about Rachel's sister? Okay, can Yaakov have Yichud with Rachel and Rachel's sister or Rachel's mother? The answer is no. So it comes out that Yaakov's relatives will be a shomer, but Rachel's relatives, Rachel's female relatives, will not be a shomer. And this is tricky. When you have boy, girl, you can have his relatives, but not her relatives, her female relatives, except for her sister-in-law, her mother-in-law, or her stepdaughter. Those three people hate her, and therefore, she will not do anything in front of them. Okay? So here we go. Heter number three, which is her relatives, her male relatives will help. Her female relatives will not help, except for the three relatives that hate her, which are sister-in-law, mother-in-law, or stepdaughter, that will help. So Yaakov can be with Rachel, with Rachel's male relatives, or her mother-in-law, sister-in-law, stepdaughter. And Rachel can be with Yaakov, with any of Yaakov's relatives. Okay, that's heter number three. Heter number four is a couple. Here you have a married couple. So the married couple, they each watch each other. So therefore, we're not worried about anything when they're with each other because they watch each other. Therefore, Yaakov and Rachel will be safe. Yaakov and Rachel will be safe, or they will not do anything. Yes, Josh. Yaakov and Rachel will be safe because they will not do anything in the presence of this couple, because the couple aren't going to do anything. And therefore, if they're not going to do anything, so therefore, they will become shomerim over Yaakov and Rachel as well. And this is very relevant. Let's say you have a couple with one child, and that one child wants to have a date or a friend of the opposite gender over. So here you have parents or any random couple with their one son and a girl. Is that yichud? Answer is no problem, because the parents or the couple, doesn't have to be related, won't do anything in front of them. And therefore, boy, girl won't do anything in front of them. And therefore, it will be mutter, they are shomer. Now, we spoke out last week, I'll just go over again, during the night time, which means sleeping time, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock and on, you need to have two shomer. During the daytime, one shomer. At night, two. So therefore, if it's during the daytime, anything that we discussed till now is fine. But if it's nighttime, Yaakov and Rachel are going to have two shomer. Therefore, it's going to have two children or two relatives. But if the heter is the couple, they act as two because they are two. And therefore, when you have couple with Yaakov and Rachel, that's fine daytime or nighttime. When you have the child or the relative, you're going to need to have two of them by night. Because by night, we're probably going to fall asleep. But if there's two, one of them may wake up. And therefore, Yaakov and Rachel are more nervous to do anything inappropriate. Okay, that's a wrap on Shemim. Okay, so what we've done so far tonight is, if you have multiple Sfardi 3-2, Ashkenazi 1-3, or 1-2 kosher men, that's not Yichud. In the event that you have Yichud, you need to have a Shomer, four types of Shomer. Either child, couple, relative of the male, or certain specific relatives of the female. Okay, that is Shomer. Now, what happens if you don't have any of that? Okay, so you have Yaakov and Rachel together, they don't want to do any Averas, and there's no one around. What do they do? So now you have a new heter call, leave the door open. Now, how does that work? If they live on the penthouse apartment in Fifth Avenue, and they leave the front door of their apartment open, it's worthless because no one's coming there. Oh, but the door is open. So what? No one's going to walk in. No one looks in. So this is very case specific. Does leaving the door open or closed but unlocked, does that help? And it boils down to one thing. Is it realistic for anyone to see in or walk in? That's what it boils down to. So if you live on a ground floor apartment on a very busy thoroughfare, and you leave your door open, people constantly walking by, that's great, as long as you're only in front of the door. If you have a neighbor who's very nosy and constantly walks in and checks in on you, that's great. Appreciate her, because that will save you from this yichud. So what you need to do is check your situation, your family situation, your building situation, if people will walk in, and therefore Yaakov and Rachel know that any second someone can walk in, therefore, they won't do anything inappropriate. And therefore, it is that will take care of this. Now, let's say you do not, we're not talking about perpetrators, right? We're not talking about thieves walking in. We're talking about someone walking in that's expected. I'm assuming perpetrators aren't expected. But if you have a relative, a neighbor, someone that's expected to walk in, that will help. Now, what's most common and what should be done is ask someone to walk in. Right? If Yaakov and Rachel need to be alone, and they are alone, but they don't want to do any averus, so what you do is ask a neighbor, a friend, a relative, someone, either give them the key, leave the door open, leave the door unlocked, and tell them, come, do not knock. Do not knock on the door. Do not ring the bell. Just walk in. And therefore, they will know that someone could and will walk in at any time. One second. Okay. So it has to be somebody, I was asking someone ordering food, just because the delivery man's going to come, the delivery man's going to ring the bell, he's going to knock on the door, he's not going to just walk in on you. It has to be that someone will just walk in, and therefore you're afraid of doing anything inappropriate. Right, both, you need both the man and the woman. In this case, Josh, it has to be both parties know that this could happen. It has to be that both the man, because otherwise, maybe there won't be that common fear. And also, one person may be thinking they're doing an avera. Both parties need to know that there's either a shomer here or that someone could walk in. And you should speak it out with each other. Yaakov, Rachel, you should know we have someone that will walk in. So it's okay. We could be here. Okay.
Again, with the married couple, we spoke about that there's Baila Le'ir. How does that apply? Great. We're talking about singing.
Great. Baila Le'ir is a super duper heter that works even if the husband's not here. There's a certain fear that a husband has of his wife. And even if he's not going to walk in any second, and not expected to walk in any second, the fact that he's in the city and could potentially walk in, potentially, that's enough. Whereas anyone else besides the husband, it has to be not just potential, it has to be real. It has to be in real time, expected to walk in, told to walk in. It has to be an upgraded heter. So all these shomer that we're talking about also, in order to be a shomer, you have to be a shomer in the room, or even if you're not in the room, but you are someone that will and could be there at any time. And therefore, leaving the door open or unlocked will only work if it's expected for someone to walk in. Now, the last thing in this is, what about when you're outside in a deserted area? Okay, you're taking a walk in Central Park at 2 a.m. So, is there Prama Bicha there? Can Yaakov and Rachel take a walk together in Central Park at 2 a.m? And forget Yaakov and Rachel. Let's just say any random boy and girl, they're not even together. Yaakov's in one park bench, Rachel's in another park bench. They don't know each other. They hate each other, not even looking at each other. But they're the only two people in Central Park at 2 a.m. That is potentially Yichud. Yichud isn't just boyfriend, girlfriend. Yichud is any man, any woman. Even if you don't know each other or hate each other, they could still be the answer of Yichud. So here's the way this goes. If you are outdoors in a deserted area and it could go 2 minutes without anybody walking by, that is an issue of Yichud. There's no difference between being in a locked room or outdoors in a desolate, deserted area that will go 2 minutes without pedestrians. And if that's a scenario, you can't be together even for 1 minute or 1 second. Meaning, whenever there's an issue of Yichud, this Yichud is even for 1 second. We're just saying what determines that there's Yichud here is that it could go 2 minutes without someone walking by. So if that is the scenario, and you're sitting in your park bench in Central Park, you have to move. You cannot be within eyesight of the opposite gender in the deserted area. That's the way it breaks down. So if you are in the mood of being outdoors by yourself, and there's some random opposite gender person, you need to move out of eyesight of that person. Unless it is frequently populated or pedestrian traffic, then it's fine. Okay, so that is a wrap on the time of Yichud. A certain hetkeim of Yichud. We'll just bring up certain life scenarios that comes up. The one that's very practical, very relevant, are doctor offices. A lady goes to her doctor, and if it's female, no problem. But if it's a male doctor, she's allowed to go. But there could be a real issur of Yichud with a woman in a male doctor's office, or vice versa, a male in a female doctor's office. There could be a real problem of Yichud there. So if the doctor locks the door and no one's allowed to come in, Yichud gamor, big problem. If they leave the door open and everyone can see, that's great, but maybe embarrassing for the patient. So what do you do over here? So the ideal is that the secretary or whoever's accompanying the patient is told and knows, please walk in at any second. We don't want necessarily anyone from the office walking in any second, but as long as it's set up that anyone can walk in at any second, then no yichud. And it has to be spoken out because if the door is closed, and you don't know that someone could walk in any second, that could be missing Yichud right there. And therefore, if in such a scenario, you need to know the office mentality and the office customs that people do walk in. And you have this not just in doctor's office, but in any office. Anytime that there's an office and you have psychologist, psychiatrist, or just a regular office, and there's a door which is closed and it's a man and lady inside, that's missing Yichud. It has to be set up and expected. People could and will walk in without knocking at any second. That's one scenario. Another scenario are taxis.
The laws of a workplace protect you from Yichud? The laws of a workplace protect you from Yichud?
So if the law of the workplace is you're not allowed
to... Meaning if you were to do something...
No.
Inappropriate with somebody else, then you can lose your job. Wouldn't that protect you?
It's a good question. No, because the taiva's Yetzirah is still there. The consequences, you'll try to get out of it. You'll lie. You'll deal with it. It wasn't me. It's not true. You can't prove it. It has to be real that someone could walk in. And also, it could be it's consensual. Like they both, if there's no aveira there. There's no work out there, right? It'd be theoretically allowed. So it has to be in real time that someone could walk in on you. Now, what was the other thing? Right. Then the other thing was...
Cameras.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I like. Cameras. Do cameras help? So I'll tell you, cameras could help and cameras could hurt. If there's a camera in the room that lets you see outside the room, it hurts you because because then anyone in the room can see if anyone's coming in. So if there's a camera in the room that the yichud people could see out with, it's a problem. What about the other way? Can a camera watching the people in the room, does that help? The answer is yes, it helps, but it only helps as long as you're in front of the camera. I mean, if the camera covers every area, that's great. If the camera covers half the room, so then you can be in half the room. You cannot be in the other half of the room. Okay, but it also has to be that it's a real-time camera, that there are people watching the camera now. If it's just closed-circuit cameras that they can check the video, so that is not real-time. That you may alter, you may get hands hold of later. That maybe no one will ever look at. It's less of a heter. It's got to be that there's a security man, someone watching the camera while you're there. So that's as far as offices. Now, as far as car rides can also be a problem of yichud. Can a man give a lady a ride or vice versa or a taxi? So if it's during the daytime and there's pedestrian traffic and people could look in, perhaps even a highway that everyone could see in, so then it's okay because then you have everyone watching you. But if it's nighttime or you have dark windows, that's a real problem. And you would need to come up to the heterim of shomrim in the car to make it mutter. And another scenario is you have a maid, a cleaning lady, or a babysitter, also very possible to have yichud issues. You're going to have to invoke some of the heterim. People could walk in, there are multiple people around, but babysitters, cleaning lady, workmen, right? A workman comes over, the husband's at work, just lays at home. So you have the heter baila be'ir, but let's say the husband's not home or not in the city. So these are all scenarios where there are real yichud issues, and you're going to have to apply some of that tame that we use of multiple people or certain shomrim or having people walk in anytime. Okay, that is a wrap on Hilchos Yichud. Is there a heter of sister law? One second, what's the shaila? Is that there's sister locking in seven? Oh, right, thank you. There's actually one other heter. Thank you very much, Abba Florence. One other heter is, let's say all else fails. You don't have any other heter.
I asked you this a year ago.
Right, it was Nogaya for you. I also had someone else. So let's say you have a scenario where all else fails. It is just a problem of yichud. There's a problem of yichud, and there's no heterim. It's nighttime, the door's locked, whatever. There's no heterim around. Hello, Dr. Langer. We have the last halacha of yichud. Okay, let's say you have all else fails, you're alone, man, lady alone. The only other heter, if you don't have any other heterim that we discussed till now, is that the lady locks herself in the room. Lady has to have the key, and only the lady, not the man, and she locks herself in the room. That's the only heter. Let's say you want to sleep over. Wife is in the hospital with the baby. Son-in-law, mother-in-law, alone in the room in the hotel, alone in the house. So lady has to lock herself in the room and be the only one to control the key. But when she comes out, there's a problem. So she can't come out for the bathroom. Haha. Or whatever it is, she has to be locked in. Once she's out, you now have yichud, man, wife, and a lady at night. So the heter is lock the door. All right. That is a wrap on Hilchos Yichud. Anyone who missed it, I'll send you the recording. Now we're up to bitachon. Next week, I'm going to try, hopefully we'll do halachas of goyim in the kitchen, meaning bishul akum or yayin nesach, pouring the wine, related halachas of goyim or mechal shabbos, touching your food, cooking your food. I hope that will be next week's topic. Okay, bitachon. So we're in the middle of Perek Gimel in Shabbat Bitachon. So the Chayvus Alvava says that when you have bitachon, you have to realize that Hashem sees you, looks into you, and knows right what's going on in your heart. So if you can speak and say, oh, I have bitachon, that may help to convince your Rebbe or your friend that you have it. But real bitachon is in the heart, and Hashem knows exactly what it is you're feeling inside. And therefore, there's no fooling Hashem. Oh, I have bitachon. You do or you don't. If you're feeling it in your heart, Hashem knows it. If not, not. But to realize that Hashem knows what's going on in your heart, that's A. B, if you have joint bitachon, meaning, oh, I believe, I rely on Hashem and my friend and my boss and my relative, that's not good. That weakens the bitachon in Hashem. But if you ask someone to run an errand for you, so if you ask one person, you're confident they're going to do it. But if you ask
you tell two people, hey, well, one of you go ahead and do something, most likely both of them won't do it. If you give it to two people, no one will do it. When you have bitachon, it's got to be singular bitachon in Hashem, not in two, not in Hashem and someone else. That diminishes the bitachon that you have in Hashem if you're also reliant and dependent and feel dependent on a person. So it's got to be 100% on Hashem and deep in your heart to have real bitachon in Hashem. All right, and tefillah, a tefillah thought. So we're starting now some kavanas in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. We discussed already that you have to realize you're in front of Hashem and the Kodesh Kedashim, Hashem is awesome, you're nobody. Now, what kavana should you have? So the first three tefillahs are really praising Hashem, the Koyach of Hashem. He brings back life to death, death to life, and he's holy. The fourth bracha, Atachoni, that's the first bracha that we actually request things. So there, the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Kuf Tes Vav, says, what should you be thinking during Atachoni Das? So he says, you have to realize the difference between a human and an animal is Das. That's what differentiates us between animals. So we have to appreciate the Das and ask Hashem, give me Das, and I shouldn't be like an animal. And he adds, the ability to daven only comes through that Das. Because you have Das, you have the ability to daven. So when we daven atachonin Das, you're thanking Hashem and asking Hashem, Hashem, please give me Das, that I should not be an animal, that I should have the ability to daven. And the Mishnah Berurah adds, and also through Das, you have the ability to know the difference between good and bad. And you see in today's world, people, sometimes those lines are not so clear, what's good and bad. If the daven for Das, you should have the ability to know the difference between right and wrong. And one last thing on this thing, I was once told, I had a shaila, I was told by a certain Rav, when you daven in Chonei Das, you should daven to Hashem that whoever you ask your shaila to should have the right Das. So it's not just that you should have Das, but the person who you ask your shaylas to, you want to dive in that he should have Das as well to help you out with your shaylas. Okay, so these are different kavanas during Chonei Das. And we'll end off with a parshavar. This week's parsha is Va'ira. So we have Moshe Rabbeinu used the term Aral Sifasayim. Right? Aral Sifasayim means he had a speech impediment that because of the coal, right, he was tested by Paro when he was a kid, and he took the gold, and Hashem had a malach come and switch his hand, and he took the coal and put it in his mouth. He now had a speech impediment. So Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, I can't go to talk to Paro because I have a speech impediment. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's tying on this week's parasha. So the Ramban asks, well, why didn't Hashem just go, poof, now you're better? Hashem could make him lose his speech impediment. It could go away. So why didn't Hashem just do that? The Ramban answers, because Moshe never asked for it. Well, if you don't ask for it, you're not going to get it. You need to be mispala for it. And if you're not mispala for it, you don't die for it, Hashem may not give it to you. Now, even if you are mispala, he may not give it to you. But the Ramban understood that had Moshe daven for it, then Hashem would have healed him. So the question is then, why did Moshe not daven for it? Why did Moshe want keep the speech impediment? If he had the ability, he had the koyach tefillah to daven for it to be removed, why would he not want it removed? So I heard a great answer. It could be this is what the Ramban means. Because that speech impediment came from Hashem and it saved his life, he wanted it. It was a constant reminder 24/7 that Hashem watches out over me. Hashem saves me. Someone had a surgery and had a very bad scar and was so embarrassed at the scar. But when they heard this vow, they said, hey, wait a minute. I see that scar. And I now know, hey, Hashem saved me. I could have died, but I had a surgery and my life was saved. So sometimes we have our struggles in life. We have to think back, wait a minute, thank you, Hashem, for saving my life. I'll deal with the struggle. Now that's one element. But you could ask back, but Hashem is the one that gave you the struggle in the first place. So it's like, I cut your foot off, and then I'll do a surgery to save your life. Well, I'll shoot you, and then I'm going to do a surgery to save your life. It could be there also. Moshe Rabbeinu recognized, whether it's a relationship with Hashem or relationship with a person, just because you're hurt in that relationship, doesn't mean the end of that relationship. When you hurt someone or you get hurt from someone, you could just walk away from that relationship, say, forget it, I'm not gonna deal with you anymore. You could just ignore that it ever happened, or better, it happened, but build on that. Yes, we hurt each other. Yes, I hurt you. Yes, you hurt me. Yes, it was painful. But still, we can still be close. We can still have our relationship with the fight, with the struggle, with the challenge. Moshe Rabbeinu was challenged. Speech of his whole life, it came from Hashem. He didn't want it removed. He was able to be Moshe Rabbeinu and committed to Hashem even with that. And that's how much which he wanted. And perhaps in our own personal relationships, we can have our fights with people and build on them. We can do something wrong to someone and build on it. And with that, perhaps even a stronger relationship. And maybe that's what's going on with Moshe Rabbeinu with his speech impediment. He kept it, he dealt with it, and he was still strong with Hashem with it. That's a wrap. Miss him next week. Same time. Have a good show.